Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Best of Friends podcast with myself, Becky Measures, and my rather bonkers, not a day over fabulous, inspiring mummy, Wendy Watson, founder of the Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline. Not only do we have the usual mum-girl-child relationship with a couple of grandkids thrown in, we are forever connected by our love of musicals, random scenarios, and a faulty breast cancer gene, BRCA1. Between us, we hope you relate to the madness of a typical, or maybe not so typical, mother-daughter relationship. We hope we create lots of laughs, but more importantly, we hope we inform and raise plenty of awareness of hereditary breast cancer, so that anyone who should need it has a breast friend in us. It is the Mother-Daughter Breast of Friends podcast with myself, Becky Measures, and my wonderful mother, Wendy Watson, MBE, Master of Everything, I think. She has actually, again, so chickened out on this. We had this discussion, didn't we, that I am going to get her to do things that she might be slightly uncomfortable with at times, but I feel like, you know, you've got to push boundaries in this life. You've only got one life. And I kept threatening her that I was going to take her to a rave. I don't know whether, you know, sort of telling you what she is doing instead of, she's actually got through to a very good poker tournament, so, you know, good luck, Wendy of the Watson variety. I'm still going though, but I still wanted to hop on to this podcast because one of the things that we really want to do during all of our series is to start a campaign called Brightening Her Journey, or Brightening Your Journey. This is where we want to be able to offer experiences and wonderful gifts, really, to people that are going on their own cancer journey, be it breast cancer or ovarian cancer, not particularly always related to hereditary breast cancer, to somebody that we feel deserves just to have a little special treat, because we know that we are very lucky and we get to do certain amount of things that, you know, not a lot of people do get to do. So if we can take as many people as we can on these different journeys with us, and it can make people smile, then we hope that it makes them feel better. And we're going to start this today. And I'm really, really pleased to be able to do this. So today, let me tell you, I'm off to 90s Fest at Sheffield at the Don Valley Bowl. And 90s Fest is exactly what it says on the tin. So let's go back. If you're like me and you're not a day over fabulous and 90s was your era and you were listening to Sash, you were listening to Sonic, you were listening to Entrance and Ultra Beat, Ace of Base, all of these artists are going to be at the event that I'm going to today. And our first person whose journey we really are pleased to hopefully brighten just a little tiny bit is a gorgeous lady called Tarina. And Tarina actually is with me now, looking absolutely gorgeous and sparkly in a in a gorgeous green dress and wellies. Mate, that is a look. How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I know I've stuck a microphone in your face.
Very big.
They're not always that big, darling, as I'm quite sure you're aware. Tarina, it's honestly, we're so pleased that, you know, you're able to come today to Nighties Fest with us, because you have been on a journey. Mm-hmm. You're still on a bit of a journey. Do you mind telling us just a part of that journey that you're on right now?
It's crap.
Yeah.
Well, I got diagnosed nearly a year ago.
Is it really?
Yeah, September, 21st of September.
Wow.
I know, how fast has that gone?
It's gone so quick.
Very fast.
You were diagnosed at stage 4, weren't you?
Well, originally they thought it was stage 3. Then once all the scans came back, middle of December, they says, no, you're stage 4.
Crikey.
But I'd been left for 2 months without treatment anyway, so by that time it had spread, because I actually had a benign lesion in my liver, which they knew were benign, but they wanted to be 110% certain. That took another 2 months for the results to come back, and by that time another lesion had spread to my liver, and that was actually cancer.
And you're 29?
I was 29 when I was diagnosed, yeah. 29. I was 30 in October.
Crikey. And you've got two little babies.
I have. Yeah. Alfie is 9 and Willow, she's 5.
And they are both absolutely gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
They really are. And you've got an amazing partner, Ash, as well. You know, I don't want to go into what the prognosis is, or because I just feel like, you know, you're your own journey.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And no one can write your story for you.
No, and every day is a new day.
Exactly.
Every day is a new day.
And you're here and you're smiling and you're looking absolutely fantastic.
I feel like a glittery frog in my lovely glittery green dress.
It's the fact that you've got wellies on at the same time. Not just any wellies, ladies and gentlemen, they are Hunters. Hunters, if you are listening, you know, we are quite sponsorable. It's as simple as that. So, you know, we you know, I've followed your story since you were first diagnosed. I'm one of these, unfortunately. If I see something and I think I can help, I'm straight in.
Sorry about that. Not a bad thing, Becky. Honestly, you've brightened my journey. You really have.
Oh, darling, well, you know, if we can do anything in this world, that is to make people a little bit happier, and I hope we do that. So I don't think I've really told you this. So we're going to 90s Fest, which is exciting anyway, because I know you don't really get that much time away, you know, from the children or from you and Ash, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Especially to go and party.
Yes, not at all.
And I think what is quite important sometimes is people see people that are going through breast cancer or going through any kind of cancer and think you should just be laid up.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't.
No, you have to live your life.
Yeah.
I think it brings a whole new life to you when you're diagnosed with something, which is sad because you should live your life as you want anyway. But I think once you're diagnosed and you're told no, you've got stage 4 cancer or any stage of cancer, you should. It's just a new lease of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we've got VIP.
Ooh.
So it looks like we might be meeting a lot of these artists as well. Is that all right?
That's fine, but it's a bit scary.
You're going to absolutely love it. I'm going to introduce a lot of them to you as well. And I just hope that you take from this day, breathe every single minute of it, and I'm going to breathe it in with you. Thank you for letting me come and enjoy it with you as well.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, darling. It is the start of our Brightening Your Journey campaign. This is what we want to do on our Mother Daughter Breast of Friends podcast. If you want to be involved in it, or you would like to nominate somebody that would also benefit from something beautiful, then do let us know. I tell you what, I think it's time we got in that taxi and went ahead, and I will be back. I promise I'm going to come back and I'm going to get some interviews. Anyone particular that you want to meet?
Example
yes. is there today. He is there. Let's go and see if we can get Example. But I tell you what I'm going for. Do you remember Children of the Night?
Oh yeah.
We are the children of the night. Nakatoma are there today. Look at these goose nods. Right, we'll see you on the other side. So I have got here at 90s Fest. Serena was pretty blown away actually as soon as we got here, because the one person that she wanted to meet on her Brighten Her Journey campaign, why am I going to cry, was Example. And he was the first person to walk round the corner that she saw and had a photo with him. I was like, that's the universe, that is telling us. And I've come round backstage and we're so, so lucky to be meeting so many artists. I've only been here about half an hour. I've already interviewed Sash, and I'm now with the absolutely gorgeous Julia McKnight. Hello, darling.
Hello.
So your hits back, and we're not going to talk about how long ago it was, but 30 years ago, since Finally, and then there was Home, and there was Diamonds, and you know, you're out there and you're absolutely smashing it. And I kind of, do you know, I said to my mum when I said about me coming to do this, I went, Mum, I'm going to a festival that's from the 90s. So a lot of the people that are going to be there will be my age or a little bit older. There's no doubt that they will have had a connection.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, just in talking, you know, the connection is absolutely there, because like we call it at home, the big C, like it runs all through my family, aunts, uncles, my cousin, and my family and I, we don't laugh about it, but we have to find a way to make it light. And we say, you know, cancer has run through our family from head to toe, literally. But you know, my mom at 84 is a two-time, you know, breast cancer survivor. And we always tease her, because we're like, the first time she came out of it, everything was wonderful, great. The second time she gets it on the other side, and we said, you can't do anything normally. She wanted to get a breast cancer that you get 1 in 50,000 my mother wants to get. And she's like, I don't know, I'm special. But she made it through that as well. And just the monitoring that we do with her, her diet, the life changes she made, it led me to be more preventative with mine. I have two cousins, one that's just finished. We rang her bell a month ago. The likelihood of two sisters both coming on the other side of breast cancer, two sisters in one family.
Have you had, is there a genetic test? Have you had a genetic test?
I didn't, but the cousin I just spoke of, she did, because they couldn't understand, because her mother didn't, her grandmother didn't. It reached so far back, but it's the DNA.
Of course, it could have come down the father's line.
It's the cells. And up until my mom, it was, here's the wildest part. It was my grandma Cora, great, 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 great grandmother. It went from that point with her having cervical cancer. Back then, she was only 27, passed away. And nothing until my mom.
Wow.
So I have two granddaughters now. And in my mind, and I have two sons, and we've learned through research and through studying that women tend to think, oh, well, I have to look at my daughter for the... No, it's the cancer. So can it connect at any dot? So now I've started more preventative measures. I'm going to do the testing to see for my granddaughters so they know for their daughters.
Exactly. Exactly that.
It's the prevention.
Darling, do you know what, for me, listening to this and knowing that it was 30 years this year that my mum had her preventative surgery, the same time that finally came out, when nothing, I know.
Yes.
When nothing was known, really, about hereditary breast cancer.
They didn't tell us.
And now we are at the position that we're at, and I was talking to Lester Barr the other day that I was telling you about, you know, they did Europe's first ever breast cancer prevention centre, and you're able to do all of these things.
Yes.
Because of this background work.
Yes.
You know, it really touches me so much.
No, we're a C family. We're the cancer family.
But you've got control of that.
I mean that with even with meeting you now, this dis-ease connects all of us. I don't even give cancer the power to call it a disease. No, it's a little imp that we're going to get away with. But it does help, because people are getting younger and younger and younger. They're being told not to be checked for certain cancers early enough.
Yeah.
And then it's progressed. Our young people are getting it earlier. And that means that the prevention part is so important that certain diseases, whether it's colon or prostate or breast, should start to be screened way earlier than the 30 and 40 years that they tell us.
And Julia, it's lovely to hear you speak to you. Thank you so much.
I'm here.
And will you come back again on this podcast and come and chat with us?
I will. I am so for building that family that supports prevention, supports early detection.
And that is what we're all about, darling.
Then you got me, girl.
So we're here at 90s Fest with the Brother Daughter Breast of Friends podcast. Backstage, Serena, who we bought as part of the Brightening Your Journey campaign, is having a whale of a time. She's living her best life. And I'm backstage now with the just totally, utterly gorgeous Take Me to the Clouds of Birth. See, I'm auditioning. I'm auditioning, but not very well. It's Rachel McFarlane.
I love that. Thank you. Sing some more for me, please.
There's a boy. Yes. I know. He's the one I treat. The acoustics are all right here.
They're great in here, aren't they? I was warming up my voice in here early. I thought, It's like Bathroom Chronicles in here.
You were amazing on that stage, lady. You were incredible.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I go, I do my thing, and I pray and I hope people enjoy it, and that's it. That's it. So
you bring the most glorious energy anyway. You bring the most, because you are so lovely. And I think that is what, for me, that is what energy does a lot of the time, is if you're kind and you know why you're on that stage, then that's going to go across.
Yeah, totally. I loved what you said, that you know why you're on that stage, because singing for me is a bit of a calling, you know, so... It always has been, and so I really take it seriously, what I do, and take seriously the people who are coming as well, that I don't take that lightly at all. So thank you for the opportunity.
My mum, she can't be here today. I tried to say to her when we started this podcast, I said, Mum, I'm going to make you do things that you're probably not going to want to do. I said, I'm going to take you to a rave. She's chicken out and going to play poker, but she will be coming. But when we started this podcast, because you mentioned the word calling, and she said to me when she was a kid, again, the beat kicks in. I have to explain this. We're in like a tin cabin and the beat kicks in. Armin van Helden's on stage. This is amazing. My mum said that I feel like the helpline and the hereditary breast cancer helpline, and the fact that it's 30 years since her preventative mastectomy, which she was one of the first that we know in the UK, I felt like that was her calling. And she actually said to me, she went, when she was at Sunday school, I went, you went to Sunday school, wow, mother? Yeah. She went, when she was at Sunday school, she was about 6 or 7, and she realised that what she needed to do in life was to do good. And this is where she feels like the helpline and whatever she's doing now has taken her. Yeah. It is about that. I do feel like you're led on.
I honestly do, and I'm a believer in God anyway, so I really do believe that God opens doors and leads us to people, we're connected to people, but yeah, we're led to serve each other. Yeah. And I serve people through my singing, through my music, through my writing, through encouraging. You know, sometimes it's a smile. Hi, how are you?
I always said one of the big things I had when doing radio, one of the big enlightenments I had, was when I realised this microphone's not for me.
Oh my God.
It's for other people.
And you're being a voice to other people. Yeah, and you're amplifying their stories.
When I had that realisation, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now I know what I'm doing.
And it's such a powerful position to be in, and if you are egocentric, you can see where that can lead.
Yeah.
But when you're there, when you know you're there to serve the people, it keeps you humble.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And I feel like, you know, with the helpline and with being able to do this podcast with Mum about hereditary breast cancer and raising the awareness, and just to let you know, Rachel, I'm not sure whether yourself has got any kind of sort of relation to hereditary breast cancer, but I also feel like by doing this podcast, that doesn't matter. It's people's personal journeys and what they've been through, and a lot of people do have a connection with cancer. But by doing this, 97% of people that carry a faulty breast cancer gene still don't know. Wow. And that's 1 in 200 people. So what we're doing right now is trying to make sure we get that word out there, but by doing it in so many different
ways, and you try absolutely everything to raise that awareness, because people need to know. What would I need to do? But you need to tell me, what would I need to do just to check myself?
Well, what is really interesting, and I'm glad, because I think you're from Manchester, aren't you?
Yes.
And I spoke to one of our people that we've worked with very closely, or I've known since I was a kid, actually, who Mum's worked with very closely over the years. It's a guy called Lester Barr, who started up Prevent Breast Cancer in Manchester.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And they are literally there just to focus on prevention now. And talking to him the other day, they are so far forward with stuff now that they will be able to take in your well-being, so basically what your lifestyle is, then compare
everything.
But not just that, then compare it to when you started your periods, if you breastfed your children, if you have density in your breast tissue, what your family history is.
So it's a holistic approach. It has to be.
Yeah.
And it's not a one size fits all. If there's anything that I'm learning about medicine, it's like, because it works with them, doesn't necessarily, it's gonna, we are different people, you know, so that's what I'm learning.
And that is, and I find that just totally amazing, because, you know, we hear these statistics, like Lester said the other day, 1 in 8 women carry breast cancer. That doesn't actually necessarily mean that you are, you know, it is 1 in 8. We are, in our family, because we carry the BRCA1 gene, we have an 85 to 90% chance of getting breast cancer.
Wow.
So our statistics are a lot higher.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting.
But we're able to have the surgery, and, you know, I've had a mastectomy, and I feel, and I feel really proud of I had my mastectomy when I was 24.
Wow.
As a prevention, so I feel really proud of that and really empowered.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, as women, we're connected to our bodily parts.
Yeah.
And what did that do for you? What kind of journey was that for you in terms of femininity?
It was a really interesting journey, actually, because, like, I was so young, and there was so much, there was a lot of media around it as well at the time, because I was the youngest woman in the country to have that surgery at the time. And with my mum being the first, it was, you know, there was a lot on me. But my cousin had just got diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 27.
Wow.
So for me, it was like, I'd be selfish if I don't take this choice. And the surgeons that I, you know, was involved with, they'd never done anything like it on a younger patient. But I had belief, and I knew why. Again, it comes back to that why I was doing it. And I look now, and I feel so grateful, because I was right to believe in them, because that's a mistake. Look, here I am again, showing me boobs again, but this time to Rachel McFarlane. And I'm so proud of that, but knowing as well that I'm okay.
Yeah, my God, I take my hat off to you. And all the women who have to go through that journey. It's, gosh, you come out braver, don't you? You come out more courageous. You come out with a new sense of purpose. It's amazing.
100%. So can we come back to you at some point with this podcast? Because I feel like Amplified Voices, which is it's a choir.
Yeah, well, it's a community interest company. And we deliver singing for well-being activities, because music is transformative. Has the power to heal. Let me say those words. I know it sounds a bit twee, but I'm going to say those words. Just look at all those people out there. They're here because of what music makes them, how they feel. Music has the impact on the brain, the serotonin, the dopamine, all of that triggers, all those feel-good hormones are triggered because of music and its impact on the brain. So I'm on my own little journey to bring happiness to all sorts of people. Like I said earlier, I was working with a group of neurodiverse young people in Liverpool for the ADHD Foundation, and we formed a little choir, and we sang at the Eurovision Festival. Yes, we did.
Oh my
yes,
Lord.
We did.
Well,
it's on,
done.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. And you know, when a group of people are being castigated or labelled as being difficult or rude or misbehaved, and all the while they either have ADHD or Tourette's, or they're autistic, and they're just as creative and just as talented as absolutely anybody else on this planet. And so that was my thing. I'm going to prove to you that they are. And we did that, a performance. So we're working on the next phase of that, which will be a year's project in Liverpool. But in Manchester, I work with a group of women, 50 plus women as well, who they've gone through depression and that kind of thing. And same as with them, music is used as a vehicle of expression for them. So it's a way for us to, when I'm teaching them a song, I teach them my process. So my process isn't just learning a song, it's deeper than that. I have to make that song mine. So I've got to find a connection with that song.
Yeah.
So lyrically, I have to sit down and read that song. What do you think the author was trying to say? What does that mean for you today, Rachel? How can you bring that message across? What sort of emotions do you need to bring that that thing across? So by the time I'm on that stage, that song's mine. and this is how I feel about this song. So I engage them in that same discussion, so they can express their feelings and their emotions and sing with a new reality, you know.
It's so right, though. Yeah. You are so right. Like, I think, I've been very, very lucky in my life. I'm going to just do a little name drop here. One of my really good friends is a guy called Elliot Kennedy, who wrote for a lot for Take That and Spice Girls, etc. And he always says you've got to connect with your audience, you've got to connect with your song. But like, especially with what you're, you know, you're talking about, that connection goes a lot deeper. Can we hook up again? Can we
get... Yes, please, let's do so.
I'd
be honoured.
I would literally love this. And I know that my mum would be absolutely gassed to meet you. And I feel like we could do so much together.
Yes, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel McFarlane, she's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much. Hope to speak to you soon.
Bye! So fresh from 90s Fest then... And I'm desperate to tell you about this, Mum, because, yeah, I mean, I know you chickened out, but we are going to get you to a rave at some point.
No, I didn't actually chicken out.
Yes, you chickened out.
No, I was doing something far more important.
What was that then?
I was playing poker.
She was. Do you know why I had to explain that to people as well? Right, I was like, yeah, you don't care. I was like, yeah, she can't be here today because she's playing poker. So what it is, and then I have to tell people what... about you and your pokering.
Well, it's just a good bit of fun, and you know, it's not a gambling thing, I can assure you, because I don't like gambling. It's got 40% luck and probably about 58% skill.
But you love it, and you've made loads of new friends doing it.
I have made a lot of new friends, and I've really enjoyed it. And the reason that I couldn't be on that one is because I'd done really well, and I was through to day two and day three of the next thing, so I was into the money, so I'm afraid I couldn't go to your rave.
Well, that's all right. I'll let you off on this occasion, but let me just tell you, right, it's made something very, very clear to me. So it was great that we got to take Tarina... right, to go to 90s Fest, and we started our Brightening Your Journey campaign with her. The person that she wanted to meet, I said to her, who would you like to meet the most? And she said, I'd like to meet Example. We were there 10 minutes, taken round to the back of stage, and the first person she meets, Example.
How wonderful.
I was. That yeah. You know, nothing else could have happened, and I'd have been happy with that, because to see a smile on her face like that was just wonderful. But then I was very lucky. It probably doesn't mean anything to you, but it does to me, because 90s was my era, and the music that was on that day was just, honestly, it was amazing. I had to have a word with myself at one point. I had to give my head a wobble, because it was like me meeting all my heroes, right? Honestly, I had to calm myself down. But what became very... apparent very quickly was that so many people have a connection, and so many people don't know, but they really want to know.
Yeah, well, and that is important. That's why we're trying to go to all sorts of different types of venues and people. I'm going to do a podcast with the poker community. Amazing. and that work with the bingo community, and I mean that's massively important, hugely important, because there's not one way to get this word out. There isn't one way. It's going to be multi-layered, because there's lots of different walks of life and different people, different sections, so we've got to appeal to every different set of people, if you like.
Exactly that. And which actually makes things more exciting, you know, on a different level, because we are going to meet, and we already are doing, some amazing people, and probably be in scenarios that we would never usually find ourselves. Don't get nervous. But that is what is important, because if 97% of people don't know, how are we going to get to them, right? If they don't know, does that make sense? You can't just say, oh, you know, we're here with the hereditary breast cancer, because if they don't know, they're not going to think it's of interest to them.
Exactly. I mean, you could say, right, okay, well, we're going to do an interview on this morning. Yeah, well, that will reach the, you know, percentage of people that actually happen to watch this morning. I wouldn't like to say what percentage of people that is, but it'd be quite small, really. You know, we'll probably do an article in the Daily Express or the Daily Mail or whatever. That will only reach those people that actually have that newspaper and that actually bothered to read all the way through it, because people don't always. So we've got to go in a lot of different angles. We've got to go in lots of different directions in order to be able to do this, to reach all walks of life and all ethnicities and just everybody. Just everybody. I even had the audacity the other day. I was driving through the middle of Manchester, and Jewish people now are entitled to have a free genetic test. All Jewish people. Every Jewish person is entitled to have a free genetic test because they are very much more increased risk, 20-fold. I think it is on the general population. It's because of the interbreeding and probably from the Holocaust, actually. And I had the audacity the other day to stop some of the Orthodox Jews, two gentlemen in the street just outside the synagogue. I thought, do I do this? Yes. Don't be silly. Of course you do. The worst they can do is ignore you. And I wound my window down and said, excuse me. And one of the gentlemen walked over and I explained to him that 30 years ago I'd had preventive surgery. There was a free test available for all Jewish people, and somehow we'd got to reach all Jewish people. And I just thought maybe you wouldn't mind sort of spreading the word. And he was so interested to know why they were more at risk. And I explained to him. And he said, that is very good. And I quoted the Talmud, which is to save one person is to save the world. And that is the Bible that they live by. It was quoted in Schindler's List. And don't ever watch that. If you can't stop yourself from crying, don't watch that. But in fact, everybody should watch it, to be honest. But I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss one single opportunity. And from that, he said he would pass the word round, and that's given me the courage now to ring up a few more synagogues and ask to speak to the rabbis and hope that somehow, and every one person that you reach, it's another life potentially saved. And, you know, you can't stop doing things like that because it's just so worthwhile.
Of course it is. And we always like live by the, well, we had a campaign that we did not so long ago, make one person aware, save a family. And we are that.
Well, that's exactly it. That is exactly it. Because, you know, if people are so, you know, incredibly at risk, then, and there are lots of options, and they can not necessarily have surgery like we have, but that, you know, they can take advantage of extra screening, be tested to at least put their mind at rest, because the Jewish mutations are very easy to spot.
Right.
They're very easy. There's just, I think it's three, and they are common throughout the Jew. That's what makes it so more proliferate, really. Yeah. The fact that there are these particular mutations that pass down.
I think that, you know, again, what we've found by starting this, and again, what's become very clear is that we can do this whenever we like. We can hop on a podcast and we can chat about things, and we can literally have episodes that are dedicated purely to, you know, certain things. And I think, you know, that is one of the things that we must do. Just for now, to say a massive thank you to Jamie and to everybody at 90s Fest for having us, or for having me, and for I hope I didn't embarrass myself too much when I had little, I didn't have a wee that much, just a little tiny wee when I met people.
Dear.
Well, you know,
we really need to know all these details?
These things happen. Come on, how many women, especially if you've had kids, can relate to it? When you get excited, these things happen, right? And I was excited, and I might have told them that as well. But thank you very much, 90s Fest, and hopefully
that really cheered them up.
They all related. So a massive thank you to Rachel McFarlane and Gina McKnight, and I managed to catch up with Lisa Lashes, who we're going to be having a chat with a little bit more, because she's huge with the Pink Ribbon Foundation, is Lisa, and very keen to be supporting us as well. So massive thank you for that as well, and also being able to brighten Tarina's journey. We love you, Tarina. Thank you.
Be breast aware with Aware, the new breast self-examination aid. Just search Aware Breast Test. Proudly sponsoring the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.